on, Holy Spirit, come on. Do I love and I worship you? Whatever you say, I will do. You have my heart, show me the truth. Elohim, breathe on me. Let your glory fill this room. Till everything smells just like you. Every day discovering something brand new. Elohim, breathe on me.
A very good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. This is Spirit Wednesday with your host, Father Joseph Wilson, MSc, Missionaries of the Sacred Heart. And let's ease in to this program.
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
Older listeners will guess my age from that one. That is, of course, the famous Eric Clapton, Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Oh, yeah.
A very good afternoon, everybody. And this afternoon with my main guest, Mr. Bernard Taffin, we will be knocking on heaven's door. I think you'll find the program this afternoon very interesting and also very informative. And so I hope you'll stay with us until the end. So we've got a nice program for you this afternoon, dear friends. And my very special guest this afternoon is Mr. Bernard Taffin, all the way from Ladysmith. Did I get that right, Bernard?
100% correct, Father. And thank you very much for your kindness in inviting me onto your great program. And I'm delighted to be part. Yes, exactly. I live in Ladysmith. That's Ladysmith in the Western Cape, the lady with the I, not with the Y. And I've been here for the last 14 years. Prior to that, we were in Cape Town as the family.
So, Bernard, I know many people know you, but for those out there who have not heard of you before, can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Certainly. Thank you very much, Father. Yes, Bernard Taffin is my name. I'm now 64, 65, born in 59,
mm-hmm.
born in Cape Town, and moved at a very young age to Johannesburg. And so I was born really in those heady years of the 70s, where the world was being flooded with all kinds of revolution, especially of the sexual revolution. I grew up in a Catholic family, which prayed, you know, as people did 40 years ago. I am, in short, a passionate devotee of Our Lady and our good Lord, and desire to spread the devotion to the Immaculate, to the Sacred and Immaculate Hearts throughout the country, to change our country and the general disintegration of society with rock music and drugs, etc., etc., etc. Now, we used to pray as a family, which we simply stopped at a certain point. I guess that was the way things happened at that time. And due to all these multiple evils that were assailing society with a certain amount of rebellion of the children, et cetera, et cetera. So, unfortunately, I drifted from the faith. But the grace of Almighty God and the grace of Our Lady, I returned, 1980. So I'm talking already 40 years ago, I have been on a more solid path. So I really could consider myself a revert.
Yeah.
In the full sense of the word.
You're yes, married, Bernard, and you've got children. Is that so?
I am. I married in 94. I have five children. Thanks be to God. Five beautiful children. Most of them are adults. They're 26, 27, 25, 22, 20, and 15. two girls and three boys, and by the grace of God, we're all in the faith, which I'm really warms my heart in no small measure. I've been married over 30 years this year. Father was our anniversary in February the 19th.
30 years.
Yeah, 30 years. Yes,
Congratulations. Yeah.
thank you, Father.
Your wife Catholic, or was she a
Yes. Oh,
convert?
yes. No,
Yeah.
absolutely Catholic.
Yeah.
By the
Wonderful.
time I married her, I wouldn't have married anybody else but a Catholic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yes, no, she's very much a Catholic, also from a cradle, classic Catholic family.
Yeah, I think that makes a big difference when we marry in the faith. That, I mean, marriage is not the easiest of vocations. I mean, St. Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that married people will have their problems. But it takes out a lot of stress and a lot of misunderstandings and suspicions when one marries within one's own faith. And yeah, I always encourage that. But coming on, Bernard, to
Oh,
why
yes.
I've invited you on the program this afternoon, and I want to thank you for coming on. What was it that drove you to be so passionate about her? And we'll get on to the actual work you're doing in a moment. But how did you become so passionate a devotee to Our Lady?
Well, I guess I give to Our Lady the responsibility of my conversion. I used to pray sort of gently to get out of the world that I was in. And one day, sometime in 1980, in late 80s, I received an enormous grace, really enormous. It was an instant conversion. And I only attributed that to Our Lady and to the power of the Holy Rosary, which I was sort of beginning to pray. But in that conversion, I had some sort of sense of Our Lady, the Holy Spirit, God our Lord, that I had to do something in life, and I had to be something more than just the run of the mill, and I had to defend the church and fight for Christian civilization and for the glory of God in some way. It was never really clear to me at the time how this would pan out in practice, but I knew in my heart of hearts that I was called to do something. And yet later in life, it started to work out palpably for me what perhaps that intended. But so I always cherished a great devotion from that point onwards. And it culminated at that point. I made the consecration to Our Lady, I think in 1983, of St. Louis de Montfort's consecration. And I've never looked back. I just think Our Lady is the most incredible instrument that God has given us for the salvation of souls. For the conversion of sinners and to change our world, to just completely change our society, if we were to take this her seriously and everything that she has communicated to us in the various apparitions.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. We don't really know the power of Our Lady and the work she's doing. Well, we'll come on to that in a moment. But coming back to something you've said, Bernard, and that is you began praying the rosary in 1980, early 1980s. And by the way, when you began to have your conversion, that's the year I came to South Africa in 1983. So at least we have that in common. But anyway, what was it like for you to pray the rosary? Because I know for many listeners out there, it's not the easiest prayer. Was it easy for you? And how did you navigate that in the beginning? Because you hadn't been praying for quite some time, or you've been maybe not fully following the Lord. So, in the beginning, how did you navigate praying the rosary?
Well, I think in many ways, Father, we all have difficulties praying the rosary, and one still does in the sense of being able to meditate properly and not to be distracted. But my thinking about that has always been that it's better to pray with distractions than not to pray at all. So in those times, I sort of was conscious of Our Lady's message at Fatima, for example, where she says, pray the rosary daily. So one sort of had the idea that if she said we must pray, we must do it, regardless of whether we're 100% involved or whether it's great or not. And so that was sort of what pushed me on. But another thing, the lack of sort of exterior distractions. attractions or any interest that I didn't have any interest, for example, at the time in television or anything else, because it was very new in the country. So there was not the pull to be doing other things. And it was also just the delight, or the real delight of having gone to confession. I remember it clearly in my mind. It was Maundy Thursday, 1981, where I formally renounced all the miseries that my life had been engulfed in until then. So I was sort of like a lamb in the field, skipping along, a newborn lamb. And those things pushed me on in praying with confidence, with persistence.
That was Canti di Medjugorje.
You are listening to Spirit Wednesday on Radio Veritas.
If you've just joined me, I'm talking with Bernard Taffin from Ladysmith, and he's explaining his passionate following of Our Lady and of Jesus. You attribute your conversion directly to Our Lady, and you said you got a signal grace from her.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You could feel it. You could feel this is from Our Lady.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I felt, oh, yes, I felt, I almost felt something just starting at the top of me and running through. It was the most incredible experience. I don't talk much about this, I must confess, Father. I don't know if I've ever mentioned some of these things to my children. But
Right.
it was the most amazing thing that almost like a taking a blackboard that's full of rubbish and with the duster cleaning it, and one sort of sweep across the canvas. That's the kind of sense I had. So I was lucky in a way that it was such an intense feeling which propelled me forward without looking back too much. I don't think I ever looked back. In fact,
yeah,
I was just so happy.
Then you began to bring Mother Mary more and more into your life, allowing her to guide you towards the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, no, absolutely. Well, of course, yes, that is everything Our Lady encourages us to do, does with us, is to take us to the final station, isn't it? To the end station, which is our
Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah. Now, I haven't met you personally, and when I heard about you, I wanted to get you on the program because you have so much to offer. One of the things you are passionate about is that South Africa needs Our Lady. Tell the listeners about that inspiration.
Well, yes, certainly, Father. That really is a deeply held belief by me, that and we've actually printed a book earlier in this year about that, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I always was interested in the message of Fatima. You know, in the past, before I did this work, my wife and I established a little business called Catholic Treasures, where we sold beautiful Catholic publications, which we got from TAN in America and a few other houses.
Yes.
So the notion and the idea was always to try and spread good spiritual works, which I find in our country are very, there's a great deficiency of just ordinary works that are affordable and within people's means of getting hold of. So we always, so we started that work way back, which due to secular businesses and keeping us going, we couldn't really pursue too well. But I've always had an interest in Fatima and in the message of Fatima and in how it translates in the world in the last century, in the wars, the catastrophes that we're facing as a nation, as a world, in the family institution, and always desired to do something about it. So when we actually moved out of Cape Town 14 years ago and sold up, and we came here to the countryside. And by the grace of God, then my time was opened and freed to be able to do something, to pursue my primary interests, which were to do something in our country. And it just, the world needs Our Lady. That was the essential message of Our Lady at Fatima. Didn't she say to the little children, Jesus wants to use you to make me known and loved? He wants to establish devotion to my Immaculate Heart in the world. To those who accept it, I promise salvation, and those souls will be loved by God, etc. And also that he also said to Sister Lucy that when she was distressed about the little Jacinta going to die quite soon, she being left alone, and Our Lady consoled her and said, "I will never leave you. My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the way that will lead you to God." And these things sum up the sort of Fatima spirituality, which I kind of apply to our own country, that we need Our Lady and we need the consecration. How can we say it? She's the easy road to God. She's the easy road to our Lord. She makes it easy for us spiritually to get to our Lord and to change lives, to amend lives. As she said at Fatima, with prayer, reparation, and amendment of life. And these are the things that will change our society.
For me also, I find the message of Our Lady of Fatima, I speak about it regularly on this program, but I believe that that is one of the most significant apparitions of Our Lady. Now, there have been other great apparitions like Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Knock, Our Lady of Lourdes, and those, not downplaying any of those. But I think you're right. The message of Our Lady of Fatima in 1917 has been tremendously formative for the 20th century and right into the 21st century, because it is said that the apparitions of Our Lady of Medjugorje are a continuing of them, and Our Lady of Akito to Sister Sasagawa, that those are basically a continuation of the message of Fatima. And when Cardinal Ratzinger, before he was Pope Benedict XVI, when he heard the message of Our Lady of Akita in Japan, he almost immediately accepted it because he says, this is Fatima. So it is true, and Fatima is still speaking to us. Our Lady is asking us to help her. And she's so humble about this that she wants us to help her, that her Immaculate Heart will triumph in the world. And we need that. We need that so badly. And she's going to be the one to crush Satan's head finally.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, Father, that Sister Asagawa died on the Assumption just 2 weeks ago.
I didn't know it was the Assumption. I knew she died recently. I didn't pay attention to the exact date. But that's significant because there are no
Yes, losing the
accidents.
Assumption.
Yeah, there are no accidents, like Maximilian Kolbe died the day before the Assumption. And I didn't know Sister Agnes died on that day. Amazing. Well, now, coming to South Africa needs Our Lady. So, is this any? I know I've heard of this. America needs Fatima, or America needs Our Lady. Ireland, I know there is a group over there. Countries saying we need Fatima or we need Our Lady. So, are you an association? Are you part of a larger group, or is this something you took up by yourself and then began to propagate?
I was certainly inspired by the actions of many of these groups across the globe, but we're an entirely independent organization, but drawing inspiration from many of the things that these people in America and, as you mentioned, Ireland and various other places, publish and produce.
So you mentioned early on something that really tickled my curiosity, because I know Tan Books, you may, now for our listeners, Tan Books is a beautiful publishing company. I think they publish in the United States, and they have got very beautiful literature, devotional literature, literature that really is, it is very practical and very pastoral. And you were drawn to that, and actually so am I. And I remember reading about St. Maximilian Kolbe, that he wanted to propagate so much devotion to Our Lady. He wanted to flood the earth with devotion and literature on Our Lady, and he partially succeeded. So just a practical question, do you republish Tan Books, or do you edit them, or how do you navigate that particular copyright issue with Tan?
Well, thank you, Father. No, we don't copy anything of Tan. My earlier mention of Tan was in the context of a company we used to run, a sort of home apostolate, where we imported Tan books and sold them. I actually still
I see.
Have lovely Tan. One of the things that always impressed me about Tan was the covers. And the covers almost always spoke volumes of the content, and you could almost do an eeny, meeny, miny, mo on a set of Tan books, and always pick up something that was spiritually edifying and just beautiful. Generally, you know, life sort of changing books. But now my wife is very talented in graphics. So what we do is we sometimes, yeah, she does all the works that we produce, all the little cards, all the little pamphlets, all the booklets, they're all entirely home produced, home computers, and shipped out to a printer to print in Johannesburg. And so we occasionally take, there's some books, for example, by Father Kinane, a tremendous Irish priest, which was, he wrote lovely books. We did a lovely book on the Sacred Heart of Jesus a couple of years ago, which was based on a book of his, very old titles. It's actually fascinating the number of good material, good clergy, good bishops, good Catholic saints and people that lived from roughly 1850 to 1950. It's a very interesting period in the church's history, where there's tremendous missionary work done, I think, of our own Abbot Fenner, and so many people across the globe. So we basically look at what we feel is needed in the country of whatever nature, that we could really touch souls with it. And then we either adapt, or, you know, we might seek permission if it's something that needs to be sought, or if they're very old books and nobody's bothered with them for such a long time, we edit and reproduce and take out some of the old language. So we've done quite a few books in that regard of various authors. As I mentioned earlier, we did a great one on The Angel of the Altar. It's a beautiful book on the life of St. Margaret Mary and her devotion to apparitions of our Lord. Incidentally, we're in the 350th anniversary of those apparitions in this year, last year, and next year.
Yes, she's very important to me, St. Margaret Mary, but more importantly to our congregation. Now, I'd love to come back to St. Margaret Mary, but first we need to take a short musical break, and see you after the break.
Thank you.
Oh, Queen of the Holy Rosary. Isn't that a beautiful rendition?
You are listening to Radio Veritas with Father Joseph Wilson, MSC.
Now, just before the break, we were beginning to talk about St. Margaret Mary and her apparition, her various apparitions of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and we continue with that conversation now. Because we have special devotion to St. Margaret Mary, because we are missionaries of the Sacred Heart. And her tremendous apparitions at the end of the 16th century, we still honor her for that. And I had the great privilege of going to Paris Le Monial, and her relics are kept there.
Oh, wow.
And on one occasion, they were transferring the relics. They were, I won't say shipping them, they were moving the relics to bring them to some part, I think it was Spain or somewhere. And I happened to be just at the door of the church of Paris Le Monial when the relics were coming out, and I was allowed to touch them. It was a great, great, great privilege. And for our listeners who don't know who Margaret Mary is, she was a 17th century visitation sister, an enclosed sister, and she had major visions of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Those of you who know the picture of Jesus holding his heart in his hand, well, that comes from one of her visions. And the famous line said by Jesus, "Look at this heart which has loved people so much, which has spared nothing of itself, exhausted itself in love for people, and in return has received from the greater number of people nothing but coldness and indifference." And what offends Jesus more is that the people who should love him the most, that is, religious people, they are even colder, or they're even more indifferent than the laity. So I'm very, very interested in that. You call it the angel of the altar. I haven't heard of that, Bernard. Can you tell us a little bit about that book?
Well, yes, it's a very beautiful book. And it's all about St. Margaret Mary, this Father Kinnane, who was an Irish priest, he wrote a whole set of books. He was very famous in the late 1800s. He wrote one, The Immaculate Heart of Mary and The Sacred Heart of Our Lord Jesus Christ. And he just goes into all aspects. I'll send you a copy of that, Father. It's
Please
a very
do.
Beautiful book. I think he designates, the book is The Angel of the Altar, being St. Margaret Mary. And it's just a wonderful set of, meditations and reflections on her and her life and this enormous, beautiful devotion that our Lord has given to us in these times when we're devotion to the heart, well, to our Lord Jesus Christ is cold and indifferent, as you said, unrequited love.
Love is not loved, as Margaret Mary said, and also St. Therese of Lisieux, and also St. Faustina. Amazing how the three of them said exactly the same thing, that Jesus is not loved. And just a little note of interest here. This very year on my morning channel, I do online mass every morning, but on the eve of the first Friday, we're copying St. Margaret Mary. We do an hour before midnight. Now, she did this hour from 11 o'clock until 12 on the eve of every first Friday. She got permission from her mother abbess or from her superior to do it. She waited up from 11 o'clock to 12 at night. And she would often lie on the floor, prostrate on the floor in front of the tabernacle. She was doing two things there. She was offering her love for Jesus because she felt he was unloved. And secondly, she was making reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus for the coldness that Jesus experiences from the world, despite giving everything for the world, despite giving the world everything, and yet the world runs after so much silliness and so much superficiality. And when it comes to important things like our faith and our salvation, we're not a bit interested. So we decided
exactly.
that we would open this idea up, and instead of doing 11 to 12, we do 9 to 10. And I just want to tell the listeners that there are a huge number of people joining that adoration. It's just a silent adoration online. If you want to join it, dear friends, you only have to remember 5 words, and all of them you know. You have to know the word South Africa and the word and I'll give it to you so that you can follow it. Healing and Deliverance South Africa. You'll find us on YouTube and you'll find us on Facebook. You just join, you'll see a link to that online adoration. You can join it between 9 and 10 on the eve of every first Friday because it is a great inspiration from St. Margaret Mary. So friends, this afternoon I'm talking with Mr. Bernard Turfin from Ladysmith with an I, and we are talking about various saints and his publications, and now we're going to come on to his publications and his focus on Our Lady. If you've not heard the beginning of the program, Bernard is passionately interested in promoting Our Lady and especially devotion to her, because he is following through on the devotion to Our Lady of Fatima, which is really talking about the salvation of the world through the victory of our Immaculate Heart of Mary. And when we have devotion to Our Lady of Fatima, she will actually save us. Bernard, I'm sure you heard of the miracle that happened on August the 6th, 1945, when the bombs were dropped on Hiroshima at, I think it was 8 o'clock in the morning
or
9
indeed.
O'clock in the morning. And it wiped out hundreds of thousands of people, except 8 Jesuits. And they were at the epicenter of the blast. Their windows were blown in, but none of the priests or brothers of the Jesuits were hurt. And they all said the reason they were spared is because they were practicing devotion to Our Lady of Fatima. And so we've got our own promoter of Our Lady of Fatima, but also other things that you are doing, Bernard. You're also a promoter of a national rosary crusade, if I've got it right. Can you tell our listeners about this?
Yes, absolutely, Father. This is something that we have been running for many years. There's so many famous quotations by blesseds, by saints, by popes, just by ordinary citizens about the efficacy of the recitation of the Holy Rosary. When I give meetings around the place, I normally got about 50 of these on paper, and they're all so impressive. So as Pope Pius the Ninth, Blessed Pope Pius the Ninth said, if I had an army to say the rosary, I could conquer the world.
Wow.
So that more or less is within our means. You see, we could conquer the world if we can persuade. This is my great hope in this country. We could persuade the 4 million Catholics we have to get on their knees every night with the family, with the children, whoever's extended in the home, and pray the rosary for their souls, for their conversion, their salvation, for their communities, for keeping the children intact, for keeping drugs and the despair and the disgusting things that are taking place in so many of our poor communities, to keep these things at bay. I know that we can change the country and change the world. The problem is people don't want to give it sufficient chance. So we're moved to try and bring as many people onto the streets. So we've been doing this now for 10 years. So on the Saturday in October, closest to the miracle of the sun, this year it falls on the 12th of October, Saturday the 12th of October, we promote a nationwide rosary crusade. Now we ask people to become a rally captain. That is, they offer to host a rosary rally, and we ask them to just gather a few friends, some congregants, some parishioners, some neighbors, family, whatever. Find a public place because, as Saint Louis de Montfort said, public prayer is much more efficacious than private prayer, and it's also something where people see you and. And lapsed Catholics can return to the faith or whatever, but we're in the public eye, wearing our faith on our sleeve and making a statement for the Holy Church in times where religion, the faith, our beloved faith is shoved under the table or pushed into the corner, and we're not supposed to make any signs of being proud in what we are and what we believe in. So we ask people to go down to a public corner, crossroads, outside a mall, anywhere where it's convenient, but not in their home, but in a public spot where they can be seen, so we can make a statement. And then we've got banners, Father, beautiful banners printed, which says praying the rosary for our country. We have those banners available in English, Afrikaans, and isiZulu, Sesotho, and isiXhosa. So and also a prayer, we send it out with a prayer manual. Yeah, just a program of how to conduct it. We ask them to pray the rosary, the entire rosary, at 12 noon on Saturday. So across the whole country, over the lot, we hope to gather all these people praying. Now, last couple of years, we've had over 1,000 individual rallies across South Africa. We're always hoping to increase that, but it's prayer that wasn't there before. And as I always say to people, we don't know what prayer is going to be the breaking point to open up the tsunami of grace that our country needs, that we need as individuals, that the family needs. So we've got to keep battering on heaven's door until that tsunami opens up and we see the results.
Ma, wipe these tears from my face. It's a dirty disgrace. I feel like I'm knocking on heaven's door.
Yes, that's right. That's Eric Clapton and Knocking on Heaven's Door. And that's what we're doing this afternoon with my guest, Mr. Bernard Tuffin, all the way from Ladysmith, and a great lover of Our Lady, a champion of Our Lady, and an establisher of the Rosary rallies around the country, of which we hope, and I hope, to be part of on the 12th of October next month at 12 noon, high noon for South Africa. Now, if you've just joined me this afternoon for the interview with Mr. Bernard Tuffin, we have been talking about the efficacy, the effectiveness of praying the Holy Rosary and praying it publicly, that is, in the public square. And we get back to the interview in which I'm telling a story about what happened to me when I was in the Philippines in 1995. I confirm what you're saying. I spent a beautiful year in the Philippines in 1995, and they had recently come to independence, like South Africa. And they had a dictator, Ferdinand and Imelda Marcos. They were ruling the country with an iron fist.
Yes.
The Philippines is recognized as the only Catholic country in Asia. And the people took to the streets in great numbers to make their protest known. For those of you who don't want to know whereabouts, it's just across the sea from China and Japan and north of New Zealand. That's what we're talking about. Anyway, the people went out in the streets and they were carrying, there were lay people and also nuns and sisters and sometimes priests, but they were carrying a statue of Our Lady at the front. And what happened was that there was not one shot, not one bullet fired in that revolution. And Ferdinand Marcos got on his helicopter and left the country because he couldn't fight this thing. Everybody was out on the street. Everybody was praying. Everybody was behind the image of Our Lady. And it really did change that. There was no violence whatsoever. No one was killed. And yet the dictator was dethroned. So what you're saying is absolutely true. Now, coming to back to the Rosary Rally, Bernard, before you go on to the next thing, what areas in South Africa has the greatest number of Rosary captains for this crusade? Is there a center, is there a province that's doing it better than other places?
Yes, I think probably Gauteng would fit that category due to the concentration, obviously, of people and the number of people and the density of the Catholic population, particularly in the greater archdiocese.
I remember saying a couple of months back that the men in Ireland, and men are not known getting down on their knees in Ireland, they get down on their knees to play darts and to drink porter and whiskey and all of that. But a movement happened in Ireland where the men got up and they decided to come together and pray the rosary in public. And that had an enormous effect on the country. But it also spread to, I think, 30 other countries. They took the lead from these. And it was men primarily, not women. It was men primarily going into the marketplace, going down on their knees and praying the rosary in public. And they were not ashamed. Something that they would have been absolutely ashamed of 5 years ago, 10 years, 15 years ago, and that in a country which has turned its back on Christianity, really. So I believe it is very, very powerful what you're saying. So I wanted to ask you this. When you do the rosary, your own experience of it, doing it at 12 o'clock on the 13th of October, 1917, what has been your experience of doing that with other people in the public space?
Well, we normally ask our rosary rally captains, as we call them, to send us reports of pictures and stories, etc., etc. So we get a lot of feedback and a lot of beautiful pictures, and the people do the most imaginative things. They set up little shrines in parks and make beautiful rosaries out of balloons and send these off into the atmosphere.
Yeah,
and do all kinds of wonderful things. Unfortunately, when you ask me about my personal experience, we don't have much in that regard, because while we always do the rosary, we are essentially only our family doing it, because we live in an incredibly Protestant region where we could barely find two Catholics in the vicinity. Anything inspiring I could tell you from that regard doesn't really exist, because we're really on our own and in the face of very Afrikaner and sort of Protestant communities that, mind you, you know, wave and are encouraging. But in terms of saying, look, 10 people rolled up to join us, I can't say. But in other places, yes, we get lots of interesting repercussions from people where they've been joined by people, or, you know, and asked for a rosary and prayed together, etc., etc. But of course, there are the enormous unseen repercussions that might take place, which we'll only know in the end of the world.
Yeah.
And that's really what we hope for.
So that's what you're planning for going forward. And there's not a lot of time between now and the 12th of October, next month being
Yes.
the month of Our Lady of the Holy Rosary. What I'm asking is that you have other beautiful things up your sleeve apart from the National Crusade, the National Rosary Crusade. You've also got something else up your sleeve, Bernard.
Yes, I just want to mention if anybody of your listeners would like to participate in that, we're still recruiting rally captains to be able to promote the rosary in a public place, and we have such an encouraging response. So from incorporating all kinds of communities, language groups, status, etc. It's very beautiful. It just sort of becomes a single South Africanism, regardless of our background and who we
Right,
are.
right.
Just begging God, Father, to intervene in our country, to keep away all the evil, all the terrible things we see, all the horrible murders that are taking place, which only, I believe, at this time in history can be cured with by the grace of God and intervention of Our Lady.
Well, Our
We have a
Lady
website.
did say that prayer can alter history, and it can stop wars, and it can certainly stop violence. I know when they opened the Shrine of Perpetual Adoration in Wentworth in Durban, it was the first chapel in the country that promoted perpetual adoration. And the streets were filled with gangs and all kinds of horrible things going on, drugs, gang warfare, and all of that. And remarkably, when the perpetual adoration started and continued among the Catholic peoples, all of these things began to go down. The murders, the gang violence, all of that, the drugs, they all went down when people began to pray their particular hour of adoration throughout the day. So you're absolutely right. Prayer is a power. It's not just a, like a group of human parrots going out and parroting words. It is a power, as St. Paul says, the gospel is a power among you. It's for those who believe it. It's a power for those who believe it.
No, absolutely. No, isn't that a beautiful story you just mentioned? And I'm sure if that could be multiplied, what great fruits we could develop. But did not Our Lady say in Fatima that many people go to hell because there is nobody to pray for them?
That's true. Yeah.
So our website is sanal@sanal.co.za if anybody wants to sign up with us. Or
Now,
send
can
us an
you just
email
take
with
that
the
very
details from
easy,
Sanal.
Bernard? Just take that very easy. Sanal, how do you spell it? Because you know what it is.
South Africa needs Our Lady, just the letters, SANOL. Sanal@sanal.co.za.
Sanal at sanal.co.za.
Yes, that's where they can go to sign up, or you can give us a call or whatever.
Okay,
And,
so are there a minimum number of people required for the rosary, or it's just those who come, you run with them?
yes, well, we were ready. We as I said earlier, we've been doing up to 1,200 rallies every year for the last few years, and our goal is always to increase this and try to get it ready to make a massive difference. If you remember in history, things like Lepanto, the Great Battle of Lepanto, the great intervention of Our Lady with Father Pavlicek in Austria and the removal of the Soviet troops from Austria. They were all through the power of the Rosary and so many other instances in history that we could relate where just due to the faithful just begging, banging on heaven's door that the gates of grace open up to change the situation on the ground. So that's our hope, is to get as many rallies as we can. So we have no limits on it. We're only limited by our resources and the amount of things that we're able to send out. But once that is exhausted, then obviously we're done. But we do have people all over. It's very heartwarming to see the pictures come in sometimes from some dusty little rural outpost and from Kaimos to Port Elizabeth to Durban to Cape Town. It's really heartwarming to know that one is united on that day with so many other people praying for our country, essentially just praying for our country, for God to intervene, to convert our country. That's our great Our great hope is a conversion of South Africa. I know it's a tremendously ambitious hope and plan, but I always think, Father, if Our Lady could intervene in Mexico and convert that awful band of cannibals and transform them into the most beautiful nation of Catholics, at least at that time, why can she not do a much lesser job and intervene in our own country and convert
Yes,
us all
yeah.
so we can have a proper Catholic future?
One of the things we battle with here in South Africa is the strongholds of Satanism. We have an inordinate number of Satanist covens in this country, and they are bringing down principalities over a country. But they can be shot down like balloons can be shot down with a pellet gun, the pellet gun of prayer. And I call the rosary the AK-59. We can mow down
Very good.
the enemy with that AK-59. It is a saber of light. And it was Padre Pio who said that you can chain up the devil with the rosary, with the strings and with the chains of the rosary. You can put it around him. And of course, he absolutely hates the rosary. And I think that's one of the reasons he succeeded in telling people, look, don't pray it. It's too boring. It's too long. It's too repetitious. And by the way, Jesus told you in the Bible, you mustn't repeat yourself. Why are you babbling? And so we listen to all of this crazy nonsense from the devil, and it kind of discourages us. So anyway, that's very, very good news. And so, Bernard, just to reiterate what you're saying, on Saturday, the 12th of October at 12 o'clock, people are to get out there in the public space and start praying the rosary together. And if they've got extra rosaries, to bring it along, maybe to hand it out to people and encourage them to pray as well. Even join them, or else they can go home with the rosary and start praying with the families at home. That's the message.
Yes, absolutely. The idea, you know, that sister, remember Sister Lucy, Our Lady revealed to Sister Lucy that there was nothing, no problem that could not be solved without by praying the rosary. And it's one of my passionate sort of hopes and aspirations that we could get the rosary prayed in every single household. Now, I don't want to crow, but we've prayed, Father, in our household the rosary every single night with our children every single night. I mean, okay, we might miss it. We're not perfect, certainly, and our children are not perfect. But every night we pray the rosary by 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. We don't have a television in our home, I'm pleased to say, so that's one thing we don't have any distraction for. But our children are in the faith, and I know that it's due to our consistent praying of the rosary, because it is a prayer that doesn't give us great revelations about fanciful theological concepts, but it does give you that innate sense of right and wrong, the truth between truth and error and ugliness and beauty, and just keeps us consistently on the right path, even if one, you know, falls a little bit and raises oneself, so etc. But I do attribute that, and I would really appeal to the listeners who's not praying the rosary to start immediately. It is a guarantee of our salvation. There are so many beautiful quotations of the saints that say, you know, Saint Louis de Montfort said that if you're the worst sinner, he said that if you've got a foot in hell, even if you've got a 1 foot in hell, if you he says he writes it with his blood, if you pray every day the rosary, you will be saved. It's very, very
Absolutely
beautiful.
true.
It's such an immensely, immensely, immensely powerful prayer.
Yeah, absolutely. That is true. And I endorse what you're saying, Bernard, so much that you will not be lost if you pray the rosary. You will not be lost if you call on Our Lady. And of course, we have to call on Jesus. He's our Savior, not Our Lady. But she is intimately involved in our salvation. She knows every human heart. God has given her that gift to know the movement of every human heart. You are a child of Mother Mary, whether you know it or not. You are a child of Mother Mary. She loves you. She wants your salvation and my salvation. And one of the great prayers we can pray, coming from Fatima, is to ask for the salvation of our home. Now, Bernard, here's the thing. I haven't been able to trace this, but I believe that Our Lady has said, even if one person in the family is praying the rosary, it can save the rest of the family. Have you heard that?
In faith, I haven't, Father, but I can well imagine that it's that the power of the prayer would eventually bring to conversion those who might not be in that state.
Yeah.
I could relate personal cases of my own extended family without going into any details,
Yes.
where
Yeah.
the power of prayer has brought people back to the church after 40 years. 40 years, it's amazing. It's
Yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
It's one of
Now,
those things I think of often when we say, you know, God doesn't answer our prayers, but we don't often give him enough time. So sometimes we need to wait 40 years for answers.
Yeah. And also, that the reason for that, dear listeners, is not that God is not acting. It's because he's respecting our human freedom. He gives us freedom so we can always say no to him. And that's why it takes longer. Now, Bernard, before you go, we can't but speak about this. And that is Our Lady of Sorrows. September is the month of Our Lady of Sorrows. Now, you've brought out a beautiful pamphlet, and it is on the seven sorrows of Our Lady and the seven promises of Our Blessed Mother to Saint Bridget. And I got it through a mutual friend of ours, Dr. Grace Sebastian. She brought up, she demanded 700 of these from you, Bernard, and you very generously gave them over without any complaint. Now, I vaguely heard about this devotion, and the first thing I noticed on the promises was number seven. And Our Lady says, I'm quoting her now, this is the seventh promise of those who practice and promote the seven sorrows of Our Lady. She says, quote, I have obtained this grace from my divine Son, that is Jesus, that those who propagate this devotion to my tears and sorrows will be taken directly from this earthly life to eternal happiness, since all their sins will be forgiven, and my Son will be their eternal consolation and joy. Now, you said a moment ago that those who pray the rosary, quoting St. Louis de Montfort, one foot in hell, if you pray the rosary every day, you're not going to get lost. Now, here's one better from Our Lady. It's like she is twisting Jesus' arm and say, I want you to go one step further. I want you to let in my children into heaven. What is your take on the seven sorrows? You brought out this beautiful leaflet, Bernard. Tell us about it.
Well, of course, you know, how many beautiful, I mean, is our faith not beautiful and so extensive that we could quote literally a dozen various promises made to various saints in the rosary, whatever, which if we simply adhere to, we increase our chances dramatically of being saved, which of course we need to live pious lives in order to qualify for those promises, as with all our sacramentals. But yes, it's a very beautiful devotion, isn't it, in this month of September. Now, we do have many, many things like that also, Father, but we've got all sorts of little prayer cards. But that particular devotion we offer on our website as a sort of free sign me up and send me this prayer card. And we get surprisingly a large number of people actually asking for it. It seems to be a devotion that very much is in tune with our times. I don't know why particularly, but I guess there's so much sorrow and difficulty in our world.
Well,
but,
I mean,
that devotion,
that seventh promise is, I mean, that's better than winning the jackpot, isn't it? Here, you're playing the what do they call
Exactly.
that in Sun City? The Dream Machine. Everybody, well, I was only in
Yes,
Sun
the
City three
lottery.
times, and everybody queues up for the Dream Machine. That's to win the what is it, 20 million rand? Nobody ever wins it, by the way. But anyway, this is the Dream Machine of Dream Machines. This is. If you practiced it, this Our Lady is telling you, you're going to bypass purgatory. That, of course, is you have to live the ordinary life of faith, hope, and love. You have to love God with all your heart, with all your soul,
Yes.
and love your neighbor as well. Well, that's a tremendous promise, and Our Lady keeps her promises.
Oh, yes, absolutely. There's so many, as I said, aren't there? I mean, it is a great promise, but there's so many of these in the treasury, so to speak, of the faith and of the church, so many promises of this nature. And that it's something beautiful, that whole devotion, because it comes from the 1200s, really, from the Servites. From the Servants of Mary, the seven holy saints of
Yeah.
Our Lady that began that devotion. It's come all the way down from that time with various various additions and strengthenings, like with the apparitions of Saint Bridget about it, etc.
Isn't that really beautiful? That's called O Mary, Mother of God, sung by Catholic hymns with lyrics. Our Lady, Mediatrix of All Graces. Very, very beautiful indeed.
You are listening to Radio Veritas with Father Joseph Wilson, MSC, the station that gives you the good news for a change.
Just before the break, I was talking with Bernard Tuffin, my special guest this afternoon. We were discussing Our Lady of the Seven Sorrows and the promises that she makes. And Bernard was talking about the many, many devotions that are out there which will help us on the way to salvation. So let's get back to the interview. Now, Bernard just mentioned that there is a chaplet going with the Seven Sorrows of Our Lady, and I asked him to explain that. Yes, tell us about that, Bernard, the chaplain. I know the prayers of St. Bridget, they're, what are they, 15? They can be quite long, and I tried them a few times, but I didn't succeed.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You need lots of miracles to pray those for an entire year. It's got seven divisions, the chaplet, and it's one Our Father and seven Hail Marys on each division, with the seven sorrows, medals of the seven sorrows, as the sort of markers between those seven divisions, and it's completed. So, and it's completed by three Hail Marys in honor of the tears shed by Our Lady in her dolors, in her
sorrows,
in her sadnesses. Mm.
Yeah, so Bernard, just for clarification's sake, because I don't know a lot about this devotion to Our Lady of the Seven Sorrows, the pamphlet or the little leaflet you brought out, which is absolutely beautiful, and I believe from what you've said earlier, your wife has designed it and all of that, very, very beautiful. I know the leaflet you did there on Our Lady of Sorrows is very, very high quality. That is gloss inside and out. That's not a 10 cents leaflet.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
We've always employed the philosophy in our works of printing stuff, which I find today, Father, there's an iconography that is so ugly. And it's pushed out by the church and all her institutions trying to attract people to funny little stick figures on booklets and
you're
things.
You're dead
which,
right.
It's a yeah. totally, they want to run away from them, most of them. And
yeah.
what our desire has been to have a cover that says, that shouts out, buy me, read me, look at me, take
yeah.
care,
yeah.
take, praise me, et cetera, et cetera. So that's why we use very good quality, even though it's a little bit more expensive than other times.
It seems when Catholic media comes across as very amateurish, very unprofessional, just cut and paste and stick it here, it'll do, and all of that kind of a thing. And it just doesn't appeal. You know, people will rather go to the glossy magazine on the table than pick up anything that's kind of looks like it's been
absolutely
ronioed off with an old Gestetner or whatever. Okay, so I got that off my chest. But to get back to the seven sorrows of Our Lady, you said there was a chaplet to the seven sorrows. And I was asking you about that. I mentioned that there were seven short prayers, and then you said that there was a chaplet going with it. So is that just a shortened version of a more fuller version to the seven sorrows? In other words, it's seven short prayers and a Hail Mary at the end of each one of them. Does that suffice for the devotion? Or are you saying there's a much fuller version of it?
No, I don't know that there's a fuller version. Of course, there's lots of books and stories and elaborations on the sorrows one can find in many places. But that's really just the core. It's almost like a novena prayer, isn't it? There's a very beautiful program that we're about to launch. You'll find resonance with that, with your motto of the Sacred Heart Missionaries: "May the Sacred Heart of Jesus be loved everywhere."
Yes,
and
that's our motto.
It's about the work that was done by Father Matteo Crawley Bovey. You'll probably have resonance with his name. He was known as the Apostle of the Sacred Heart and belonged to the Congregation of the Sacred Hearts of Jesus and Mary,
yeah,
which was founded during the French Revolution as an antidote to the terrible excesses of that diabolical war against the church. And he talked about the enthronement of the Sacred Heart in the homes,
yeah,
and did a huge work. He was called the Apostle of the Sacred Heart in the early 1900s with a great push by Pope St. Pius X. And he traveled the entire world, including China, Japan, Latin America, England, and Europe, preaching the enthronement of the Sacred Heart and the dedication of an hour, any hour in the nighttime, to offer reparation to the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ for all the terrible things being happening, which today are 10 times worse in terms of abortion and all the sins of the flesh and Satanism, the drugs, as you mentioned, the disintegration of the family. And also, it's within the whole that whole notion of watch 1 hour with me, and just to keep our Lord company. So we've got a booklet going out very shortly on that whole theme.
That
So
is
that's really
beautiful.
what I just like to appeal to listeners.
You're only printing it now. You don't ha that's not been published before now. Is that correct? You're only recently publishing this.
It's just been printed. We're going to send it out within the next 2 weeks.
Okay. And for interest's sake, how many copies do you normally print of your booklets?
We print generally, we do a calendar every year, and we've done medals, the medals of Immaculate, Miraculous Medal, Medal of Saint Michael, and the Medal of Saint Benedict. We've done all these little projects over the years. And the Rosary Book and the Secret of the Rosary by Saint Louis de Montfort, and we vary between 5 and 10,000 copies at a time, and have had to often reprint them.
If people want to purchase your books and pamphlets and booklets, what should they do? What is the first thing they need to do to buy from you, and
Well,
how will they get it?
they can just go to our website because we have an online shop there with many of these things on it, which is the sanal@sanal.co.za. That's the website, as I mentioned earlier. Yeah, they can go in there, and if you want, there'll be telephone numbers and things they could call if they like, or send us a WhatsApp. I can give you that number too if you would like, Father.
Please, Bernard, can you give it very slowly your number, Bernard?
I certainly will, because I want people to pick it up and contact us. So it's 064-621-7948. That's our WhatsApp number. And the website number is sanal@sanal.co.za.
Let me repeat it again. Telephone number, WhatsApp, dear friends. You can get Bernard Tuffin at 064. Now you're saying, where is my pen? I'm taking my time, dear listeners. You can get the pen. Just remember the number 064-621-7948. I got that right, Bernard.
Yes.
Let me
Yes,
repeat
Father.
it a third time, because no other radio station does this around the world. They just give it to you once, and it's your fault if you don't get it. So here it is: 064-621-7948. Contact that number and Bernard will be very, very happy to help you. Bernard, how are the booklets sent to the person that may want to order your booklets? How do they
Well,
send? How do you send them?
we have a very intricate system in order to bypass the collapse in the national postal system. So we try to solicit from people their physical addresses, and then we get it to them through the physical address. If people order individual things and are happy to pay a courier, we use the Pluto system, and it goes by courier to the individuals. Otherwise, we sometimes ask people to volunteer in distributing perhaps a few things to neighbors and friends and people that might be at the church with them. But we've developed a whole system of having to bypass, unfortunately, the post office, which is no longer functional in most parts of the country.
So you got that, dear friends. The pamphlets and booklets and leaflets will come to you. And then you've got also resources on.
Yes, that is sanal@sanal. I don't know if you got that correct there, Father.
I don't
Sanal
think
at
I.
sanal.co.za.
I'm glad you clarified. Sanal@sanal.co.za. South Africa needs our lady, SANOL, at sanal.co.za. Bernard Tuffin, it's been a great privilege listening to you, and thank you so much for giving your time this afternoon and your passion for Our Lady and for salvation and for the great crusade that's coming up next month and also promoting the enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the family. And that, I can tell you, is music to my ears. Bernard, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much for being my guest this afternoon. May God bless you, give you many, many years, and give you many, many hands to produce and flood the country with literature about Jesus and Mother Mary. God bless you, Bernard.
Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. It's most appreciated, and congratulations on your tremendous program.
God bless. Thank you, Bernard. God bless you. Thank you for joining me this afternoon, dear friends. Don't forget that September is the month of Our Lady of Sorrows. And go on Bernard's website and you can get the 7 simple prayers. Very, very beautiful. And that will get you into heaven if you follow Our Lady throughout your life. And so I bless you now. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he uncover his face to you. May he grant you his peace. I call God's blessing down on every one of you listening and on your families. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And until the next time, dear friends, God bless you abundantly.